Committee's in session. We have first House Bill 806. You have two things, a proposed committee substitute, which the sponsor, I believe, Mr. Chapman, worked on. You also have a proposed amendment, which is on top of your stacks, from Mr. Hartle, who testified last time. Just to save a little time, I'll just mention that the proposed amendment would really get CNRA out of the act as far as the certificate of need is concerned, and makes that responsibility of commerce and economic development. So it cuts out one department. Okay. Mr. Buckle, I'm sorry. Go ahead. You got the...
Well, I think we have individuals who are here to testify, maybe.
Oh?
Really good.
I didn't know we had a testimony today, so...
Oh, okay.
Is it testimony needed?
No, I don't think so. Well, I
Why don't you go to your proposed committee substitute and tell us what you have in mind?
Well, Mr. Chatter and I, last time we considered this bill, after listening to all the testimonies, perhaps the 100,000 for the change from 10,000 to 100,000 was appropriate from the testimonies we heard. And the duration of the loan should be at least 20 years rather than 10 years, payable in 10 years. And an amendment to the purpose of this loan would be to obtain as well as to renew a license. The applicant, providing the applicant has not received over 30,000 within the last 5 years. And then, of course, if we increase the amount a person can borrow, then we would have to increase the note, which escalated to $3 million. I was feeling rather conservative after this this proposal, and then I went back to, I was running scared because I was afraid that I don't know whether people would buy the idea of getting up to 100,000, and because there are two arguments that discourage me in going up to the 100,000 figure, because we have small business loan programs in the state that they could borrow from, and that if they could borrow up to $100,000, they could almost go to the bank very easily. And the second reason why I was backing down on this agreement I had with Mr. Chatterton is that I was reminded that the bill was initially for a certain purpose, and that was to make more loans for the construction, renovation, and equipment of childcare facilities, and not necessarily for the big daycare centers that we have developing in urban communities. And what I had in mind when I was upping the figure from 10,000 to 30,000 was to help out a little bit more, but not to the extent that it would jeopardize the entire program. So now I have decided that maybe I better cut this down to what is something I could chew, and that was back to 30,000. But if we are going to give them that much money anyway, we should increase the notes that has to be bought by the Department of Commerce, that has to be, you know, be sold by the Department of Commerce and bought by the Department of Revenue, which would be about $1 million. Now, well, this is what it ended up. I don't know how you feel about it, although in testimony we heard $50,000 as a bottom figure. And I really have no real objections to that, except the department seems to, the Department of Commerce and Economic Development seems to feel that even $50,000 is a little bit too high for this sort of thing. And this is where I thought Mr. Fitz was going to be here to testify on that figure. They were rather reluctant to go even beyond $30,000, which I think psyched them into accepting it, but not 50, not 100,000. So that's was it's up to this group, and I can only say that, you know, if I have your support, I'll go up to 50. If I don't, then I think I would like to get things
out. I think Mr. Cotton has a comment.
Mr. Cotton.
Well, not on that particular point. We've got something else on the bill. I want to talk about this $3 million fund. I just don't understand it. Does that mean that after the Department of Revenue has purchased $3 million worth of mortgages, that there can be no further loans? Or are we sure that I'm not sure that what those means. I think I missed part of the meeting. This is probably the standard loan fund language, isn't it? That's the way this is directed.
Chairman, I think this is right. The balance in the loan fund, or the deficit of the loan fund, can never exceed $3 million.
That's now the Department of Revenue.
That's what you see. Department of Commerce and Economic Development can sell these to the Department of Revenue up to a maximum of $3 million is the way it's now written. Now, that means that the Department of Commerce and Economic Development cannot call upon the fund to put it into a deficit of more than $3 million to keep in mind its revolving fund. So you've got, in effect,
it's a revolving fund within the Department of Commerce and Economic Development?
It's a revolving fund in the Department of Commerce and Economic Development.
And how much money is in that fund to begin with?
Right now, it's $300,000.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's not. I see that that's the figure we're changing, but does the Department of Commerce start out with the money, they loan it, and then they in turn sell the mortgage to the Department of Revenue to replenish their own loan fund? And it looks like that's what happens. And then what we're saying is that the Department of Revenue doesn't have to keep buying once they've bought $3 million worth.
That's exactly right. North End Department of Commerce and Economic Development is loaning.
Why not? Unless they have money in the fund.
And I'm not sure. I'm sure the fund still stays in effect with the Department of Revenue. But the dedicated fund, as it now sits, is $300,000.
No, that's not the fund. That's the limit. That's the limit, but that isn't the fund. I mean, does Commerce and Economic Development ever have any money themselves that they can give to somebody that?
Well, if I read this, it says the Department of Revenue shall purchase mortgages
Mr. Cotton, we do have somebody here who probably can explain it.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Pete from the Department of Commerce. And the way the program is set up right now, we have a $50,000 appropriation which goes to the Department of Commerce, which is the revolving loan fund. The $50,000 is the revolving portion.
Mm-hmm. So there's an appropriation made to the fund that is held by the Department of Commerce.
Right. And that's the revolving fund. And in addition to that, the Department of Revenue is required to purchase, I believe now it's $300,000. And we can sell our loan. We could make five loans and hold them, which would be the $50,000 that we have the money to do. Once we've made those five loans, in order to get additional money, we would have to sell loans to Revenue. And as long as that balance of Revenue stayed under the $300,000, we could keep selling.
Well, I guess what I'm finally getting to then, it would make sense to increase that amount in the loan fund that you have beyond $50,000 if we're going to put a $100,000 back limit on
you're
the
right.
loan.
You're right. It would have to be increased at least enough for one loan of the maximum loan we can make would be $50,000.
And that isn't included in this legislation.
Yes, it's not. Well, I don't know. I don't know.
No, that's what the Department of Revenue buys from the Department of Commerce and Economic Development.
I think Mr. Cotton's point is that $50,000 appropriation isn't changed.
You borrow the money from Economic Development, they in turn sell a mortgage to Revenue. And Revenue divides up
the problem is they don't make any comment about $50,000 in the existing statute. I don't know how they got there.
So it was a separate appropriation.
It was a separate bill that appropriated 50 grand to that fund. There is, it probably starts out saying there's established a fund within the Department of Commerce and Economic Development. So that's the fund, see, and then they loan that money out and they turn, sell the mortgages to revenue. And revenue doesn't, you wouldn't have to have,
Mr. Cotton, Mr. Chatterton, Mrs. Buckhold, I think, believes, we can check with her, but I think she believes that can be handled simply by putting the money into the budget and not having to have a separate bill or included here. It's appropriation that's in the budget that takes care of it.
Increase the number of dollars in that fund.
Or when it gets to committee substitute finance.
Well, it'd have to be a different committee, so you'd have to do it completely different bill. I understand it now, so I don't have to complain.
I think it was a good question. If we raise it to 50,000, when they made one loan, their money is out. They got to run upstairs or across the hall or wherever it is to revenue and get that replaced before they can make another one, right?
And this is exactly the same problem that we have right now with the tourism program. Last year, the legislature raised it to a maximum of $3 million and the appropriation is $1 million, so we can make a maximum loan of $3 million and all we have is money.
That's the tourism?
Yeah. Is there any way we could insert a word here in any of this in this bill so that it will show in the statutes together with all the other sections of it what you're talking about?
I think you can just add one line on the bottom and say that so much money is appropriated to the fund. I've seen them done that.
Mm-hmm. On the bottom of the section, that would be section
5. You got to have a separate bill if you're going to make an appropriation. Appropriations bills, I think it's two subject rules. I think it would require two bills. I could be wrong there.
Well, the easiest way would be to put it in the budget. Yet, either you haven't closed the budget finally yet.
Tomorrow.
And if you couldn't do that, you'd get a free conference. Mm-hmm. The easiest way. I'm not saying it's the best way.
But, Mr. Chairman, how can we make it more permanent? Because it were contained in the budget. It's not going to be in the statutes. And I don't know if we have a child care revolving loan fund statute here, and it doesn't contain that portion, how are we to know if it was, a bill was passed and it has become part of the statute and it's not under the section?
Well, Mr. Chairman, it is under the section.
Where is it?
Have you got this thing right here, the child care facility revolving loan fund?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first section says there is a fund. And the fund is used for no other purpose, but you got to put money in. You can have a blank, empty account, or you can have an account that has $50,000 in it, which is what we originally appropriated. And once they exhaust that $50,000, they sell mortgages and replenish that fund with monies from revenue. So we'd have to, by one way or another, which I'm sure we can figure out how to do, increase the amount of dollars.
Yeah, Mr. Hubbard has got $50,000 in his pocket over there, and the finance committee said we have even $200,000 or something more to put in his pocket. Every time he lends that all out, he runs upstairs to get some more. I'm going to move to replace a figure of $100,000 from line 11 with $50,000. I hope Mrs. Buckhold will not consider this an unfriendly amendment or anything.
When you do that, Mr. Chairman, would you still go along with the 20-year?
That's just the first amendment. Is there any objection to that?
I'd like to go
100,000. Any discussion? Motions for 50 and votes objection wants to keep it 100.
What?
Discussion?
Maybe you'd explain your position going for 50.
Look, I think obviously the 10,000 is too little, but we did have a testimony in this bill before. But I think that we did have testimony from a gentleman in Anchorage, for example, who has been running one of those agencies for a long time, And he was rather hesitant about going for $100,000, as I remember. He said that he was afraid that some of the ones coming into business, particularly, would really get themselves in hot water with that. And he was the one that seemed to have had much experience as anybody else who talked to us. And you know, I think if we find we need $100,000, you can come back next year and raise it again. Those who come back next year. But I just have a little reluctance in going to $100,000. Well, ready for a vote? All those in favor of the motion, which is $50,000. Those opposed? Motion carries. I thought you were here when we started. From this draft committee substitute, from the sponsor. The 20 versus 10 years, I don't have any problem with that. So, if anybody wants to change it, they can do so.
I think that should be changed.
Line 20, Mr. Chairman. I move to change $30,000 to $50,000.
Motion is on line 20 to change $30,000 to $50,000. Is there objection to the motion?
No, Mr. Chairman. Objection to the discussion.
Sure.
The only discussion I had on I had no position on it other than for one of consistency. This figure on line 20 here, existing statute matches with the figure on line 11.
I think the intent was if you had borrowed the maximum from the fund, you couldn't borrow again until 5 years had gone by. And I mean, it'd be a good, you know, a good decision. That's up to the committee to decide, but that seems to be to have been the intent.
I thought it might be a little redundant the first one. But I'll just, I think I'll just let it slide.
Is there further objection?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to raise a point that was brought by the lady who came to testify from Bethel, where she felt that if she could pay up that loan within 5 years, could she borrow? Or what was the situation? I think
she was up in interest. If you could pay it up in 3 years, for example, which you shouldn't be able to borrow again.
Mm-hmm.
I think you've got two things to think about yourself. One is you want to make sure that different people have a chance to get the loans. You've got a limited amount of money. Mm-hmm. And the other one is, in fairness, if somebody has paid off their loan, why should they be different than getting a second? If you wanted to have something like this, Buckle, it could be an amendment added on line 22. By simply saying, unless the loan has been fully repaid, or something like that, that's what I think you were aiming at. Mm-hmm. I guess that lady from Bethel was saying, there's no loan.
Mr. Chairman, for just the purpose of discussion, it's on a very practical matter. Repay them a $50,000 loan in 3 years. Unless she's not eligible for it in the first place, we can't give this loan unless it's private lending institution cannot do it. By the same token, if she did qualify for this loan of $50,000 and at the end of 3 years, $50,000 equity, she would have no difficulty getting a commercial loan and not having that difficulty, she would no way be eligible
contracting matter.
Probably not. Which brings me to, you know, to comment, and this is not the bill, but it's relevant. I have seen a few bills around that said the same thing, that if they are turned down by a regular banking institution, then the institution, they can come to any of these loan funds that we have in the state. I'm beginning to worry about it, because most generally, a person who wants to borrow has some collateral. If they don't have any collateral, the banks won't lend them anything. But these people naturally would have a collateral, that at least they can mortgage their home, can use for a collateral. They could be then, the loan officer, the state loan officer could say, well, you have a home, you could mortgage it, then go borrow from the bank. There can be many excuses for. I'm really finding fault in some of these statutes that we have because of these certain conditions that make it difficult for anyone to borrow in the state, because the words that they have in the statutes just limit. And especially in the daycare program, I feel sometimes that we make it even more difficult for people to borrow.
There's one thing about it, of course, this is a lower interest rate, too.
Mm-hmm.
What would prevent, you know, just considering number four there, on line 20, what would prevent a person from getting a $50,000 loan and then the following week applying for and getting another $50,000 loan?
That's
from the same loan program. Definitely. You could do that under that, so... I'm not sure what that was designed to prevent.
I think it's...
It says if you haven't received over 50, whatever the figure is, we thought 50,000. If you haven't received over 50,000 in the past 5 years, then you can apply for another 50,000.
Well, the original statute, you had a $10,000 limitation in both places, right? And any single loan couldn't exceed $10,000. But you came back, you got a $10,000 loan, you came back a year later and got $5,000 more, then I guess you wouldn't. No, I'm sorry. This has not received over, right? You couldn't come back to that by a year later and get $5,000 more. Really, what the $10,000 wound up being was a ceiling for a 5-year period.
Oh, really? Is it? It was 20, probably, because you can tell you could, as long as you didn't go over $10,000, you can come back and ask another $10,000.
Number four?
That's just what I'm reading.
That's one of the qualifications, is that you have not received over that limit. Mm-hmm. Have not received over.
Not received over that.
Yeah.
So if you just received right at, in this case, $50,000. You would have gone over, so then you can come back and get another one right away.
So if you came back and got another one the next year, you would have gone over.
Then you would have gone over. Then you would have reached your max. So you're actually allowed two loans, $50,000. You heard a great thing. You're not, it says here that...
Now the wording is what's so bad there.
The applicant has not received over $50,000. And you can, and he's eligible. So if you went in and borrowed $50,000, then you came back the next day and said you wanted to borrow another $50,000, they check and say, oh yeah, you got $50,000 yesterday, but you didn't get over that, so you're not prohibited from another loan. Mm-hmm. Which maybe that's what we wanted to do. I just kind of throwing that up for discussion.
No, I think you've got a good point. Just the statute drawn, and I think this is wrong. I think you need to get it over.
Well, we have a motion before still that hasn't been acted on yet, which was to change $30,000 in line 20 up to $50,000.
Hey. Throw this out. What effect would it have for people that moved it up to 50 to 100,000? Does that have any effect on the original 50,000 on line 11?
Yeah. Well, I don't understand this case. Line 10 and 11 refer to a single loan.
Right, single loan 50,000. But if we
I Why don't we ignore the language a second? Let's just find out, what does the committee want to do? Does the committee want to put some kind of a ceiling of the amount in any given period of time or not? If we answer that question, then we say, if so, what kind of ceiling? We can always work out the wording. What does the committee want to do?
Perhaps we should say that no loan recipient shall be in debt beyond a certain figure at any given time. You might want to say 50,000, you might want to say 100,000, but the business of the past 5 years and all that, I don't really understand why that's there, but we could just say that no person receiving monies from this fund shall be indebted beyond point X.
Philosophically, I would like to give all the encouragement I can to the people in this particular venture. They're not asking for charity, they're not asking for grants. This is, as I see it, purely a loan. It's an incentive for them to update, have better facilities, or possibly expand facilities. I would prefer to see the highest reasonable figure be in. Line 20. I would certainly subscribe to the 100,000 at least on line 20, to where they could get two loans during the 5 year period, if in fact to comply with the requirements of the community or updated. And once again, the only thing I would like to say to members is to remind them, this is not charity. This is an incentive to free enterprise to get with the program and fulfill the needs of the community. I would go for a higher number, at least in line 20.
I'm not going to propose an amendment in this instance because Mr. Chatterton's amendment is still on the floor, but what Mr. Cotton suggested and Mr. Bennett just said, you could have something along the lines of striking four as the president stands and putting in the word something like Mr. Cotton had with maybe a $100,000 limit. No single borrower may be indebted to the fund made for more than $100,000 at any time. What does that affect? That's kind of the intent of what I think the two of you were looking at.
Are we putting a time limit, like it's 5 years?
Well, that wasn't what Mr. Cotton was suggesting.
I don't want to ask.
In the absence of objection, so we proceed and ask consent to withdraw my amendment.
Okay, your amendment's been withdrawn.
I want to ask another question that's still from the Department of Commerce and Economic Development. Maybe we don't need to put a limit on that, because you sort of screen the loans anyway and determine a person's ability to repay or whatever, don't you?
Okay, what we've done on other loan programs that we have, because this was an open area on those, and we have, in regulation, limited it to one loan per applicant per program. And the statutes were pretty open on that too, but if you're going to say they can get two loans, it would sure be simpler to just put the limit back at $100,000 instead of doing documentation twice, just do it once. I think it would be easier just to say they could not receive over the maximum amount. You know, if they borrowed $50,000, paid it down to $30,000, they could come into an additional $20,000 to bring it back up.
Then maybe 50 1 year, and then you can have a second facility and want to take another loan out for that. What I'm asking you is, do you do a determination as to their ability to pay? Do we need to set a limit on how much they can be in debt?
Unless it's going to be unlimited funding in the program, I think you need a limit,
But you got
to cause the amount of funding.
If it's unlimited, then you would set the rate, right?
Yes, we would.
How much would that be then?
I could see it being a duplication of the small business program, because we just switched one to Cutler yesterday into small business. We've had 3 in small business out of the 13 applications that we've had now. And if they're a going business and they can show that they can repay it, they've got a program that they can get $300,000 in.
That's a small business?
Yes. Small business program.
What's the percentage on that?
8%.
That's
the difference.
2%.
Right. But it was our understanding with this legislation when it was passed last year, that this program was set up for a small operator in the home that needed to put another bathroom, add a fence, get some toys, this type of thing.
Well,
And that's based on what we've done with the program. And with the $10,000, that's about all you can do. And it was also another thing that wasn't clear in the statute is whether or not collateral is required for these loans. Now, we've discussed that at hearings quite a bit last year. And it was never put in the statute, but the understanding was that we would take a second mortgage on the facility. Well, it's not in the statute, so we've had quite a few people come in and say, no, by statute you do not have to make a secured loan. But we've stuck to it, and we've upset some people because we told them that we would not make an insecure loan. But reading the statute, we could. There's nothing in the statute that says you can't make an insecure loan. So I think that's something that... If the statute stays the same, the rate of unemployment is probably at the highest risk loan programs they've ever had because the existing legislation is just not very clear on too many points.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Frank?
Well, perhaps Mr. Deanson would be recommending that we repeal this existing, or repeal the law we passed last year and just add a paragraph under the Small Business Act. To permit, loans of this type to go to...
Was something that we even questioned. On the small business, we require an equity position of 75%. Now, with this statute the way it is, we've been able to be a little flexible on it, but we do require security. And for somebody that comes in that wants to buy toys and wants 10 years to pay for them, we've said no. And it's upset people when we've done that. But we made one loan that was strictly for toys, and we went 3 years. And we were taking a fence in the backyard and a refrigerator and the toys as security for the loan, which was pretty near a personal loan. But on anything that's $10,000, we try to take a second on their house or something. Which is something I would like to see clarified in the statute to make it a lot easier for us.
Well,
that's
a good point. I might comment at least on the Burns' suggestion is that we have different interest rates, and I think that reflects the greater difficulty of making something like this pay off. If you're going from a small business, a service business, a retail, or whatever, you make more money than you can in this business. The 6% rather than 8% interest rate reflects that. I'd be reluctant to make it go into small business. But by just now.
Would this program specify a 6% interest rate?
It's in there already.
No, I know, but using docs suggest to put in small business, I don't what's preventing us from doing that?
Suppose you could do it, but I don't know what you gain by it. If you do that. If you're going to keep different criteria.
Solve the department's problem with collateral plus 6% loan at X amount of dollars to solve the child care and facility people.
Well,
modeling the
plan. Has the administration come in and asked for some sort of change in the statutes to cover the problem of collateral and so forth?
I haven't seen it. No, we didn't know about the $100,000 until today. I had talked to Representative Buffo about a month ago on it, and we were talking about a $30,000 figure at the time. And to raise it from 10 to 30,000, we couldn't see where that was going to help anybody. We were kind of in a middle ground to where if they were going small, the 10,000 was enough, and if they were going a larger operation, the 30,000 wouldn't help. So at the 30,000, the administration would have just opposed it. But I think we're talking about almost an entirely different program than what we have now.
Okay, well, we don't have any motions before us. I'm ready for anybody who wants to move something here.
Well, I might move then that we repeal this child care facility revolving loan fund and just merge it with the Small Business Act, but just specify that people receiving a child care facility loan would get it at 6% as long as the amount didn't exceed
certain dollar figure, like $6,000. Maybe we should make the amount larger, but that would be the concept. We'd just be amending the existing Small Business Administration or Small Business Act.
That is included in your packet, by the way.
Pardon?
There's a copy of the Small Business Loan Act.
So we could just amend that act to include this, to specify those loans made for that particular purpose would be at 6%. And then the figure would be, you know, it's $10,000 now, maybe we could increase that. But then there would be security for it.
Of up to 75% collateral or of the loan? Or?
That's something else I think the committee might want to consider on this one, because it's definitely a service type loan program, and nothing, maybe 90% on this. Which right now it's nothing.
What are you asking though? You say you're requiring something.
We've been taking what we can.
What's that?
All the loans that we've made for $10,000, we've taken a second on the house or the facility, whatever. We've made one smaller loan that we just took toys, fences, everything except the house because they were rented. I think we had a refrigerator and a stove, and it was about a $4,000 loan. And that's what we're running into.
Chairman,
do we have a motion for us?
Mr. Byrne moved, yes. Mr. Byrne's motion, as I understand it, was to go back to the drawing board, really, with a new bill, new committee substitute, which would incorporate child care into the Small Business Loans Act, but specifying the 6% interest rate. That's essentially it, right?
Yeah.
You did see up to some ceiling, but I don't know if you specified the ceiling or not. You said $10,000.
Yeah, but I wouldn't object to it being a little higher as long as we have some security.
Any discussion of that motion?
Well, I object to Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Scott. Don't mind.
Well,
I'll hear what you got to object to.
I object to because, the idea of the Child Care Revolving Loan Program was as we have described, helping out little people who are interested in starting our business. And once you put it in the small business loans and go into the 75% collateral figure or in any kind of collateral, you're just going to find that it's going to be very difficult again to borrow under that kind of program. And the original intent really of this bill was to provide incentive for people to get into this kind of program, and I just don't see messing up with the small business program because it just doesn't, it just doesn't settle right by me.
Did Harvey Pitts get a chance to testify yet? Did he testify at all?
No idea.
I know Harvey's a child. I'm not sure what your title is, but you're with the East with Department of Community and Regional Affairs, and has a whole lot to do with the distribution of the daycare money to the municipalities through CRA. Would you have anything to offer here? Or would you mind if I ask him?
I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have. I didn't prepare any testimony.
You don't have any thoughts you want to share with us about this whole business of the loan funds? What might or might not be appropriate?
Well, I can share with you exactly the feelings that Mr. Jeans has, and that is that if you're changing the loan fund, you should at least have some purpose in mind to accomplish. Changing the loan fund to $30,000 would accomplish nothing. I questioned $50,000. I have two facilities in Anchorage that I draw my cost data from. Each of those facilities, one was the Carousel Child Care Center, the other was Keys Kitty Care. Each of those facilities used far in excess of even the $100,000 that you're referring to.
For what? For refurbishing or kind of standards?
It was actually a dual standard with one. It was both facilities, keep in mind, were constructed for the purpose of daycare. So they were oriented towards child care, and the facilities were designed for it. There were some changes that had to be incorporated
when licensing regulations changed. And then both of the facilities expanded also. The cost data that I do have is that $50,000 again really would be worth no more than the $30,000 for loans. Again, going back to the original intent, as I perceived it, of the Child Care Revolving Loan Fund, it was oriented more towards the small operator, as Mr. Jean said. And that would be the daycare home, essentially. $10,000 is certainly enough to build a firewall around the furnace, which is the usual thing that has to be done to license a home, or provide toys, or provide a fence for safety. $30,000 would be a great deal more than that. And yet it doesn't approach what a center needs. As the bill is designed right now, I think with $50,000 you would find that it would probably be an urban-oriented bill, and yet it wouldn't be enough to accomplish anything. I have people inquiring almost continuously about source of funds for child care facilities. Most recently, the city manager or the city administrator from Gurbic called, and they would love to have a child care facility, but there's no funding available for it. I have people who have called me from Fort Yukon, and the same is true there. The same thing has happened in St. Mary's the year before last on Alaska, and I can name quite a few.
Mr. Sacramento, I'm going to break in 1 second. I don't want to forget, though, that this bill, in its present form, is a top limit on the amount of money. It's not, if they only need this home, it only needs to build a firewall around the furnace room or something. They wouldn't be required to come in and try to borrow $50,000. They could come in and borrow the $10,000. $50,000 would be simply a ceiling, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't want to get the impression that that's the amount you had to borrow.
Well, I understand that, Mr. Chairman, but the $10,000 is already there for the daycare home. So that was my impression, that it really wouldn't change a great deal for
them. Mr. Chairman, you said that like these people, say if Norvik came in and they wanted a loan for the purposes of building a child care facility?
Yes.
And, but there wasn't any money available?
Essentially, that's it.
Why couldn't they borrow it to a small business?
Well, I think probably that would be a better question to ask Mr. Jeans, but if you have a facility, something that exists that you can mortgage, then you can borrow money. If you have nothing and you're trying to start, then you have difficulties.
How about if the city of Norvik guaranteed the loan or something like that?
Well, some of the places have even gone further than that. We have in the Department of Commerce a rural development assistance program. And we have actually made a grant to one city that I know of for the construction of a daycare facility. And that was the lady that we've been talking to the other day from Bethany.
And where are you from? What department?
Department of Community Regional Affairs.
What section?
Division of Community Rural Development, and I am the Child Care Programs Coordinator.
Okay. Mr. Phillips had a question.
I wanted to make a comment about $100,000. I realize how much playground equipment costs. That's boo-boo bucks, if you know, just equipment and shipping it. I don't know where they ship it. Usually it's from Chicago to the elementary schools. Almost as much as equipment itself.
Quite often, it depends on where you're shipping to, Mr. Phillips. For instance, if you're shipping into a place like Norvik, and it was during the non-barge season, it was on support.
Right. Well, what I was referring to is within my own district here, the main area, shipping to Chicago.
I believe you pretty well hit the nail on the head, and I believe the carousel just replaced a lot of their equipment. I believe it was well over $30,000.
Mr. Chatterton is next.
Mr. Chairman, I wonder if I might call for action on the motion.
Well, in just one, just 1 second, Mr. Bennett, I think that.
I was only going to throw out a factor, but if you're bringing stuff from Fairbanks up to Earl, say enough to expand a room or what have you on it from the center, you're talking about $5,600 per fare from Fairbanks to Earl. So that's $5,600 right there in transportation from Fairbanks to Earl. This is why I tend to really support the high figures when it's an incentive for free enterprise, you choke them too much.
Chatterton was asking you two questions. Anybody still want to discuss the motion from Mr. Byrne was that we would, in effect, we would go back to a review committee substitute, putting this under the Small Business Loans Act with a 6% interest rate, maximum of $10,000. Is that right?
Yeah.
Now, the answer to all the questions except one, that's a matter of collateral.
It'd be under the Small Business Loans Act, unless Mr. Byrne makes any changes, it wouldn't change whatever they're doing under the Small Business Loans Act. They can't guarantee more than 90%. See, that's the bank.
Sure.
Yes.
Help out on that.
75, right.
They cannot loan more than 75% of the appraised value of collateral, or they may not guarantee more than 90% of whatever bank loan is. In fact, virtually, and under the Small Business Loan, why they could not even qualify for a loan under this child facility.
That's what I'm worried about. Right now, the way I understand it is that there's a lot of small, and I'm looking, viewing this from a statewide angle, there are a lot of people interested in it that may not have collateral. Now, I know within Representative Cotton's in my district, we have some huge, by comparison, huge facilities. But when you take a small operation, the person may not have that much money. Sorry, I'd like to see the collateral maybe at 50% or something like that, if we can. Maybe, you know.
The motion before us doesn't include
that. Well, yeah, that's all right.
He could amend the motion though if he wanted to.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Are you ready for the question? Motion. Okay, you heard Mr. Byrne. Sorry.
I'll offer an amendment to his amendment. Although that's generally, that's usually done in regulations. Like the Small Business Loan Act, it doesn't specify the amount of collateral.
Most of them do specify.
I guarantee you 109%.
75%.
What's the lowest you think you've ever gone as far as below 50% on these loans?
Well, when we're talking about 90%, if they were going to buy over $10,000 worth of collateral, we could loan $9,000 because 10% equity is just not up to the level. I don't think that's too much.
Chairman, I'd like to correct that, gentlemen. According to statute, if I can read the English language, you can only loan 75%.
That's what it is on the small business front. I thought he was asking what I thought it would be on the child care. So you figured that, as far as using the same terms there, how much of the
the borrower would have to come up with 10%. But it is not.
I'm not sure what your question is either, Mr. Costa. Are you asking what they've done in the past on the child care?
Right, I was trying to figure out what numbers to use in my amendment here and trying to be consistent with what you've done in the past and making these child care loans.
It has varied considerably. If they've offered a second on their house, most of the time we haven't even figured it. So if they're not offering a second on the house and it's a short-term loan, they're offering equipment and things that they, small items, we usually go 90% and require them to come up with 10%.
It sounds to me like they need to be pretty damn flexible over there. I think that we'll probably undervote against the motion and vote
Are you ready? Are you ready for the question? The question of Mr. Byrne's motion. I see the hands of those in favor, please. Those opposed? Motion fails.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
Could I bring a refocus of attention to the fact? Now, I do not subscribe to know what the intent of the 1976 body was because I was not a member of it. However, I did hear Mrs. Buchholz testify that the intent, I'll accept her word, of this loan program was to enable people that had the expertise but not the collateral to get into the business of childcare facilities, alternative, providing that. We've heard testimonies in replete for the fact that we need that. If the intent was, as Representative Buchholz indicated, why I have the strong feeling that although the statute gave them the right, that, that through regulation, the intent of the, as stated, of the Act has been circumvented by the rules, guidelines that have been adopted by the department. And I'd like to have maybe set forth at some time to the committee what the guidelines and rules are that they're developed. That they indeed, sir, has the department indeed circumvented the intent of the legislature. Mrs. Buchholz's memory is correct.
Well, let me, before that's answered, let me give you one, the memory I have of the, one of the intents as we work on this. And I thought back to two churches in Fairbanks at that time who were, who each wanted to establish a daycare center in the basement. But there are certain safety and fire code regulations, there are certain regulations about being able to serve a hot meal, things of this sort. And it, my recollection of the intent was also not for, only for homes, but also for places like that to have that $10,000 or so it took to put in a building, a kitchen, or to meet the fire and safety codes. I don't know, so if that answers the question. It wasn't only for people who had it in the home, at least that's the way I remember it. I don't know what kind of circumvention you're talking about, Mr. Chatterton. What specifically do you have in mind that they were doing with the intent of the legislation?
Well, Mr. Chairman, the thing that I think I heard was the intent was to permit the person with little or any collateral to get into business providing daycare or child facility care facilities. Why, that's what the loan program is set up to encourage them to do. Albeit the 6% interest is against the 8% small business loan is an indication of that. I also have heard some comments made here today that is suggestive that these loans are not being made by the administration unless there is a second mortgage or some type of collateral being provided or assured. I'm wondering if that might not be questioned, whether that is along with the intent of the 1976 registration.
I think that's a very good question because we have talked to Representative Duncan about this many times, and it was originally his bill. And these are the things that are really not clear in the legislation. But every time we've talked to him, he's made it very clear to us that the intent of the legislation was to take a second mortgage on the house. But again, this is not in the legislation. This is one of the areas that we've really had problems with.
Mr. Jeans, in the section 270, where it talks about you transferring this stuff over to the Commissioner of Revenue,
yes.
It does say there that you may transfer mortgages and notes held by the Department of Security for loans. So if that wasn't the intent, I don't know why that's in there.
Right.
Section 270.
I feel the same way. If we had no security, we wouldn't have a mortgage. We just have a note. But there again, it says transfer mortgages and notes.
So it, apparently it was intended that you get some kind of security. I don't know. At least
I feel mortgages it was. And I was at all of those hearings in 76. And again, this is something that we've talked through with many of the different legislators, just trying to see just what their feeling was. And we've had everything from fully collateralized to first possession to no security. So it's something that is really open, and I felt that we had to do what we thought was the best thing to teach individual loan.
Well, the committee can put something into the bill that wants to specify. We did specify in the Small Business Loans Act, we mean the legislature, what collateral you had to have. Did not specify in a child care revolving loan fund. And that is, of course, if the committee wishes to do that, they could specify it as we go through this bill. Okay, as of now, we have the proposed committee substitute before us. We have the one amendment to it. We haven't done anything else yet. So, anybody wants to do anything?
Where are we now?
We're
back where we started.
We've made one amendment. We've done line 11. Change 100,000 to 50. That's all we've done so far. Mr. Chatterton withdrew his amendment on line 20. So that's, we haven't done anything else. We made any changes.
Can I go back to line 11 and attempt another amendment on $100,000?
Mr. Phillips, you're the, you can do anything you want to do. It's within the realms of.
I'll just move to rescind our action and then move. If I have enough votes here, move the 100,000 feet.
Well, if we rescind our action, that puts 100,000 back in there.
That's different than that.
But Mr. Phillips, you're moving that.
Yes,
Mr. Phillips moves to rescind our action in adopting the $50,000 figure. It's on line 11. You put it back to 100,000. Is there any discussion on this motion? See the hands of those in favor of the motion, then, please. Mr. Nackack, you up and up? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. Those opposed? 1, 2, 3. Right. Yeah, 7 of us here. Right, no, it's 8. Sorry, may I see the hands again of those opposed? That's what I thought. I missed somebody's hand. 4-4, the motion fails. Okay. Does anybody want to do anything differently with line 20? Or any other part of the bill? How about the last line? Okay, Mr. Cotton.
We've got to do something with line 20. We've got to change the 50,000 or right. I'd propose an amendment, first of all. Delete that and insert the applicant has not. I'm not sure what the proper phrase is. They're not gone into debt for more than $50,000. Does not owe the fund. You know, see, that's the same damn problem.
The applicant's indebtedness to the fund does not exceed $50,000.
Right. I don't know. Cannot.
Pardon?
They shall not show. Well, that may be a better place than it.
Mr. Bennett may be going to help you there. He's got it. Mr. Bennett.
I was just going to say for consideration of the committee, how about on line 20 here, if we put the applicant has not received $100,000 in loans from the fund in the past 5-year period. What this gives is gives a little latitude that someone can borrow $50,000 and then 3 years later for further application or further expansion to take care of the community's needs and can borrow a second loan.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily opposed to that as long as they can afford it and as long as there's enough money. I think what I'd like to do, I'll say that my motion will be to delete 4430-264. And then go up to 4433255, and that's loan terms. And there state that in no case shall anyone owe the fund more than $100,000. You can get somebody to grasp that a little bit more artfully. But C255 is under here is loan terms. I think it probably fits in there better than your eligibility.
Your amendment would be to strike 4, Mr. Cotton, and then you would insert in about line 14 that the would be that the would you want to restate that? In no case may the indebtedness exceed.
No single borrower may be indebted to the fund for greater than. No single borrower may be indebted to the fund for greater than $100,000. That's my motion. 4433255. Yeah.
I'd probably say for more than rather than bigger than.
For more than. Okay, let's see.
You've heard the motion. The motion is to delete lines 20 and 21 and 22 and. And 20 and 21 need to insert about line 14 and a half. what Mr. Cotton just read out, which is no bar, no single bar may be indebted for more than $100,000.
What you're doing is repealing section 4, then subsection 4.
But putting it up in preceding section, which you could decide.
So we have to put a section in that repeals. Okay.
Does everybody understand the motion? Are you ready for voting? Those in favor of the motion, you'll see the hands.
Thank you,
Richard. Those opposed? Sherry, I asked anybody who was in more discussion, and you didn't say anything. Sorry.
Well, I went like this for a
question. That was your vote. Thank you, sir.
Motion carried. Mr. Scott, can you give that wording to Rocky, please, so hopefully we leave, don't let us lose.
Shouldn't it be singular, or no single applicant? Being consistent with the language in here.
That was in section 260 where they were talking about the eligibility when you're applying for it.
Okay.
So, but not up here we're putting it under loan terms. So it's
okay.
Well,
take the word off.
How about the individual? You're making it no individual borrower.
This person.
No person.
Corporation. No person.
So no single borrower.
What is this?
Whichever entity does the borrowing.
Yeah.
Maybe a corporation might be the one that's okay. That's why I can use the word person rather than you're saying.
Can we have a $100,000 loan term? And a single loan cannot exceed $50,000, right? And that doesn't have no effect, no bearing on this
$100,000. Where? Where you? Oh, were we just voting?
Correct.
Well, that would. It has the effect that they can give two of them.
They can give two loans, not to exceed $100,000.
It doesn't change the loan if you limit one loan, no.
Okay,
I'd like to ask for somebody to come up with a figure for the bottom line on this page. I think $3 million is too much money. You have any idea how much it should be?
You could probably put that on that part of the concept. I was here to testify the other day, and we got running open. I had to go to another hearing. But we haven't received that many applications. They had issued 13 certificates of need. We've received, I believe, it was 9 applications. We approved 7. We still have 2 pending, and we disapproved 1. So the volume we've had has been very small.
You're not ready to put it to suggest a figure then?
No, I'm not.
Okay, Mr. Chatterton was next.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The reason the $3 million was established is when we originally had $100,000 up there. The original bill had $300,000 for a maximum of $10,000, so that was permissive of 30 maximum loans. So we stayed consistent to be 30 maximum loans. Now that we've dropped the total of one loan to $50,000, but we are permissive of 2 loans, I submit that the $3 million still has to stay. It's a maximum of 30 loans.
Okay, Mr. Cotton.
I agree.
Okay, Mr. Phillips.
I just wanted to ask the question that the reason for, at least what I heard in the testimony that we had last week, is because the $10,000 figure was so low, it wasn't worth going through what one lady said to hassle. It wasn't worth it.
If I could make a comment, Mr. Chairman, I feel that we're really talking about two entirely different things and trying to combine it into one piece of legislation. The $10,000 is a good amount, I feel, for the home,
right,
for the small operation. And I also feel if we're going to jump up into a bracket where we're talking about a maximum of $100,000, we can't be quite as lax as we are on the collateral for a $10,000 loan. We're talking about two different things. I think we need collateral requirements on a $100,000 loan. Where being flexible at $10,000, I think is good. But my suggestion for the testimony that I've heard, to leave the existing bill the way it is with the $10,000, make an amendment on the bottom for the larger loans and have different requirements for them.
Well, Well, apparently nobody except me feels $3 million figure is too high, so I won't push it. I just personally think it is. But that means that's money that's tied up, which is not available for cash flow, and I think it's too much.
I disagree with your conclusion, Mr. Chairman.
Well, like I said, I'm probably the only one that feels that way.
No, I mean, I don't feel that the money's tied up. All it says is that that's when the Commissioner of Revenue stops buying mortgages from the Department of Commerce and Economic Development. Yeah. He doesn't have to reserve that $3 million over there to do it. That money's available, unrestricted general fund monies that the commissioner is directed to use. He's directed to use money to buy those mortgages, but he just takes money out of general fund to do it, from my understanding. So the money isn't tied up.
Well, maybe I'm wrong on this, but my understanding is if he has bought $3 million worth of mortgages and notes from Commerce, right, and he's holding $3 million, our treasury contains $3 million in mortgages and notes.
Absolutely.
Now, they're not liquid cash, they're not liquid assets, unless you sell them off at a discount or whatever. Well, that's what I'm talking about.
I see what you got. You think he has to stop buying before he gets to $3 million?
Yeah, that's why I think $3 million is high, but it's my opinion. See, I've seen your minorities, so I won't push it.
Willing to drop it down to 1 million a while ago, and I don't know whether I even have to support that.
Mr. Chairman, my only observation with reference to the dollar figures here and relate back to the testimony we received earlier is that the amount of work that people had to put in for a $10,000 loan was worth it. Therefore, the reason and the rationale for having so few applications, so few loans processed, time wise and otherwise, I venture to impose on the machines that the work that people go through and your office goes through is processing a $10,000 loan is worth a little bit more than $10,000, time wise and otherwise. And it's just really a waste of time for that amount of money.
I think you're probably correct. We spend as much time on this as we would $100,000.
Yeah. And so, you know, I figure my guess is that there's going to be a few more people who are going to have little programs and apply for $40,000, or maybe somebody who might apply for $50,000 and a $30,000 cap or whatever. But a bunch of people are going to do this, and it's going to create a cycle.
And if we've disposed that issue, then the only other question I know before the committee, which nobody we did discuss slightly but didn't really make a decision on, is does the committee wish to specify any collateral that wasn't specified in the preceding act for the $10,000? Mr. Bernie Jean talked about that. Does the committee wish to specify any collateral now that it's up to 50?
Mr. Chairman, I would move that I don't know whether they already have regulations concerning this. If they would promulgate regulations concerning collaterals for loans over $10,000.
The existing statute says that they may promulgate regulations necessary to carry out the provisions of sections 240 and 275 of this chapter. They already have the authority to promulgate regulations.
Yes, we have those. And this is one reason we haven't adopted regs for this, because there were so many things that are really open, and we didn't want to lock them in by regulation until we had a little more guidance as to what people really want.
Well, do you need any special authority or guidance to include in those regulations and collateral notes?
No, we can put that in the regulations.
But it's not going to be in the statutes, and therefore you probably feel there's no written mandate from the legislature. So you would say, since we didn't have any formal written mandate from the legislature, therefore, you know, you might be wavering whether you should do it or not.
Yes, we could do it by regulation, and we have done that with all the other loan programs. Mm-hmm. And once we've done it, we've had public hearings and everything on other regulations, and the only time you get any comment is once you start enforcing.
Mr. Colts?
I myself will hesitate to depart from such regulations. It might be too high, it might be too low. That's why we might,
Somebody
you know,
I don't think we should put them in the position of setting the policy. I think we should set it right here and let them.
Mr. Bennett?
No, I don't mind it.
SBA requires 75%?
It varies on their programs. Most of their programs are 75%.
How would it be on this program to create a further incentive in the communities do have a need in this area to put the collateral at 50%?
Okay, I think that what you would want to do is raise that to where we would loan 90% probably would raise back. The higher the percentage, the more we
loan. Oh, okay, right.
And that would be a 10% investment. And I also think if you're going to do that, you may just want to require that on the loans over $10,000. It's flexible now. We can do what we want. But we haven't had that many complaints doing that.
Mr. Chairman, I think we're right now where we are. We can take the legislative top out and let them set up the standards and the guidelines and the regulations, or we can address the problem as to what our true intent is here. Now, I can, if I want $100,000 or $50,000 loan, why right now even that 90%. That means that somehow or what do I have to do? Come down and give you $5,000 cash and then you give me the loan, or are you going to collateralize some portion or percentage of the $45,000?
It would be based on the collateral that you were offering. If you were going to buy $50,000 worth of merchandise, we could take all of that, plus you would probably already have some. You could offer what you already have, plus what you're buying, and probably about $50,000.
This is the point I'm getting at. In other words, you're willing to accept collateral, but I end up having constructed as a result of having the cash to construct it. It's like buying a car, an automobile. The automobile is collateral.
What you're going to construct would be our collateral.
Right. That would be your collateral. Right. Nothing beyond that. So all I need is $5,000 cash. I don't have to give you a second on my house. I don't have to do another part on thing. Right?
That would be your option. Yes.
I have to put $5,000.
Yes, that would be your option to do that or give us something as additional.
And the completed project is your collateral.
Right.
Okay. Is that what we're aiming at?
So they'd have a mortgage on the...
It's an equity
they have a mortgage
investment.
On a completed project.
No. Let me ask a question. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I want to give them the opportunity. Of course, liberal is impossible. Yes, me too.
Let me ask a question, Mr. Chatterton. You're talking about a new construction, right? But now how about where it's an existing building of some sort, and they say they're putting in sprinkler system, putting a firewall around the furnace room and things of that sort. The construction is a little different situation, isn't it?
Very much so. Mm-hmm. I don't know the answer. But you have raised the question.
Well, there's one thing about it, of course. If the committee wants to go to the setting the collateral requirements, you can always do that on loans above $10,000, which is one way of getting around those. Requiring collateral of whatever percentage you specify over and above the for these loans over $10,000, leave it up to the department to be responsible below that figure.
It's quite apparent to me that few people, at least they sure could go to the bank and do this, and therefore they're not eligible for a loan in the first place. A few people can give a clear title loan or a stand of collateral of a home that they're making addition to a loan. That's a cut. They couldn't do it.
Well, if somebody will, on the committee will move whatever you wish to do regarding collateral, we can always have, we've had another committee substitute prepared anyway. We'll have it done in proper legal language to say what you want to say. But we need a motion of some kind.
Under
$10,000
to be handled at the discretion of the department.
That's one way. I didn't move that. I'm just saying that's one way of going about it.
Right. Bennett's making the motion.
Yeah, anything above that 90%?
I think more than 95.
90%. Collateral? 90%.
No, no. That's where I look at it. What to put down. But don't you, Chairman?
Yes, sir.
If these people are, and here again, I'm referring back to the smaller, and this is just Cooper's thought, smaller operators. If they're going for $100,000 loan, that means that 10%, they have to flop down, you know, $10,000.
$50,000 they can go for.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Well, let's say even at $5,000. Let me just ask this gentleman from Fairbank. Is that a lot of money for you guys?
$5,000? Yes, it is.
that's for me too, but I'm just
$5,000. Yeah. Yes, so that would be a problem if you didn't have to come up with cash and sell the assets. Would that be a problem? In our case, yeah.
So you think 10% is too much?
You don't have to put any money up, though, so he's saying, he just says he's going to loan you 90% of whatever collateral you put up, so you might want to put up your boat and your car and everything else, too.
I'm looking at the cash value.
No,
well, like I said, in our case, we can make it. Okay.
Well, what I have to understand now from Mr. Bennett is if a loan would be through $10,000, the collateral would be at the discretion of the department. If it's a loan over $10,000, then it would be a 90% collateral requirement. Do I understand you right?
Yeah. This is why he wants to amend it to 95. Yeah. This is one area that can be liberal on.
I think it's a real good compliment.
Is there any 95? Objection?
No, the 90 and for over and under 10,000, the discretion.
Would that include the requirement for a second home kitchen and a home still? Yes, we could still take a second. Take any of the case. Or you would? Sure. Get whatever they could. That's what it amounts to. On the one loan that we disapproved, the people had a house that had a mortgage of about $50,000 that was assessed to $70,000. They wanted to buy $10,000 worth of toys and were not willing to give us a second return on that. I mean, they had the collateral and weren't willing to give it. And that's the only one that we can do.
Okay. Is there, you've heard the motion. Is there any objection? Is that, I mean, they will have it put in all the proper legal form. I have one more. It's an amendment that Mr. Hartle brought to us today. I'd like to know if the committee at least look at this, and while Mr. Pitts is here, it'd be a good time. Have you seen
that? Yes, I have.
As I understand it, in essence, what it does is cut CNRA out of this whole process. We did have testimony the other day that there were too many departments kind of involved in this whole thing. And my understanding, and subject to correction to Mr. Pitts or anybody else, is that what CNRA does really is give us tip of knee. And the proposed amendment that Carl brought and asked us to look at would have a certificate of need come from Commerce and Economic Development as well, which would, so the people would only need to deal with one agency. Have I misstated anything here? Okay. Like, any comments you might have or Commerce you might have?
Just that the intent of this was, I wrote this, so that the certificate of need would become the first part of the application for the loan rather than apply to one department for the certificate of need. Then fill out another whole application to the Department of Commerce and Economic Development. They would just go straight to the development department, the second department there, and start the process. And probably end up saving the state money with having to pay fewer people to deal with this. And it would speed the process, basically, lead time, cut down the lead time from applying for the loan and getting.
We did have a test one, Mr. Hartle, the other day. I don't know if you were here when it happened or not. That it was the time getting a certificate of need wasn't very long. It was 2 or 3 days in most cases. But the real time it was involved was Commerce and Economic Development side.
But that doesn't include preparing to get the certificate.
Yeah, you have to fill out two complete applications, one to get a certificate of need and one to get a loan. Well, why is an application necessary to get a certificate of need? Because it would appear that, say you're in, well, not your case, Fairbanks, and CNRA should know that there is or is not a need for daycare facilities in Fairbanks without even any kind of paperwork at all. I don't understand why there would be an application involved or required for such a thing.
Harvey Pitts again. The reason that there is a specific application required is simply because of the way the statute itself reads. It tells us to take four things into consideration. The number of licensed spaces available in the community is one. But then on the other hand, the other is the number of licensed spaces in the proposed facilities. So there would be no way of complying with the legislation itself if we did not get an application to consider how many licensed spaces will this facility provide. And that's why the certificates of need are issued for the facility itself, as well as the person who is applying for the certificate.
Okay. The number of existing slots, the number of children in the area, proposed capacity, and other factors determined to be relevant, and that's what it says in the statute. Well, isn't it true that in any community in the state that you want to name, with a possible exception of Anchorage, that the number of existing slots is pretty well known? I mean, in Anchorage too, I guess, not that the number of children who is known and the proposed capacity would be the only figure you really need from the facility, wouldn't it? I mean, it looks like they just could call you up on the phone and say, I want to build get a daycare center for 30 kids. That's the only piece of information you really need to meet the statute.
Well, under my proposal here, the Department of Commerce and Economic Development would do that as part of the loan application.
I guess what I'm asking is, you know, why this is the legislature's fault. We passed this thing, and it's a different need that, but it looks like we do know that practically every community in the state, maybe exception of Anchorage, is short on daycare facilities.
Mr. Chairman, I would venture to say that Anchorage is also short.
Well, I mean, I didn't know about them. They might have been. We had so much testimony of all these people who have places in Anchorage. But
we do, yes. We have a survey that we took this last summer to give us an indication of what the needs are in terms of how many kids are there, how many kids would be using the facilities in four given communities, which would then correlate with the other community.
Let's try this out for size and see what we get back. I'll toss it out. We'll add an additional section, which I guess now is a section six to this bill, which would be a one-line section saying that section 4433.265 is repealed.
I was thinking of the same thing. Myself, except that I wonder if under the eligibility we could include sections of it where areas that they really need this program, they only participate, but in areas where they don't have any, maybe they could have they could be addressed to on the priority list of getting the loan if they can qualify. How would that be?
First come, first served there.
I'd have no objection to it whatsoever, Mr. Cotton, with the exception of one little nebulous cloud in the back of my mind, which tells me that we only have so much money to devote for child care and for loaning for this particular thing. Some communities perhaps has a greater need than other communities. Sooner or later, we might reach a saturation point so far as potential use of a facility is concerned in some communities. That would be my only reservation about it whatsoever. Otherwise, I would not object to the
leaving. They'd still have to make down a business decision on their own, whether they wanted to start one up. In some cases, like hospitals and so forth, is there probably a good reason to have a certificate of need, or some people think so.
Right. We're about to be corrected.
Where are you still?
This is I can see you might run into the same problem, except I
Mr. Bennett.
I was going to say, how about if we zing it out, and if in fact it really becomes a need for it, I'm sure the 11th legislature will put it back in.
Or raise the amount. So far, you've never really had to say that the place is saturated with the homes or centers, have you?
Never. And there's not one place that I know of in the state that is.
One question I have too. On this certificate of need, actually, I wonder what good it really does, because as a practical matter, if you want to avoid a certificate of need under this law, you just move over to the Small Business Act and get your loan and pay 2% more and avoid the certificate of need, right?
Yes, sir.
So perhaps it's not worth that much. Huh?
No, except historically. Well, I don't want to get into that sort of thing, but people in child care usually aren't business oriented. You had one exception the other day with Bud Bird, but he's one of the very few that are business oriented. But most of them don't realize that sort of thing.
Uh-huh. How do you have any comment on that, Mr. G?
Well, we've had 13 applications come in and 3 did realize that. 3 have switched over to small business. And on that list that I passed out the other day at the hearing, you might have noticed the top one was a vet's loan. Mm-hmm. Well, at the time that that was made, we were doing all of veterans' business loans. The Division of Business Loans was, and that's why I included that one, because we processed that one for them. So I'd say 3 out of 13 were in that spot today. And if they come in and we can see that they are running this business, they need more than the $10,000, we tell them that the small business program is available and we tell them to switch it over to it.
Do you feel that a certificate of need is necessary at all?
I don't really feel that it is, because in the application form, we would ask them to explain to us why they felt they needed one anyway.
But it'd even be harder for the small person we're talking about here to go through all these maneuvers.
Right now, I don't see.
Did we have a motion from Mr. Chapman? Okay, I wish it was a motion. The motion, as I understand it, is that to add another section of the bill, which would say that AS 4433265 is repealed. Is there objection to the motion? Hearing none, it's adopted. Is there anything else that anybody needs to do on this bill? This is a bill that I thought we would get out in 15 minutes today.
Yeah.
Motion to move the bill out, then there's a recommendation.
Well, we need to get we need to get a committee substitute made up. If anybody has anything else that they want to put in, we have a committee substitute made up.
Or change the number of water
project. No. Later. Okay, then do you have an unanimous voice that this is what you're going to buy when it's put in finance form? Okay.
That's good.
We'll get to the substitute. We had House Bill 632 on the calendar today, but it's getting pretty late. Was there somebody here who needed to talk to us especially about 632? In that case, we're going to hold it over.
Great.